Well, number one, you gotta let the people know what's really going on. Let these cops do their job. I can name cops, FBI agents and stuff that did these investigations into the highest levels. Everyone was stopped. Immediately, the very first thing is when you find out your son is missing or daughter, whatever it is, you start a diary, number one. Every minute detail has to be put into it, because as time goes on, if it is one of these cover-ups, they're going to change stuff. This is the things you have to know, and that's why, like I said, this book, there isn't a family in this country that shouldn't have a book, that little notebook that we made to help you. Five basic things that are addressed. And if these laws were passed, I will guarantee you it would cut down 85% of this activity.
The scientists at LivePet are hard at work solving our cancer epidemic. They have the most promising cancer trials going on now with pet clinics around the country that I have ever seen. You can see the promising cancer research and trials going on some of the past shows that I've done. The links are below. While working with C60 and other ingredients, these talented scientists developed a hair growth serum that really works. They sat on it for years. After all, cancer is their focus. But they now realize how much the profits from this product could really help their cancer research. So the C360 Hair Growth product was launched. C360 Hair Growth is specifically designed to revive your hair growth by targeting hair follicles and restarting your hair growth cycle. C60, the active ingredient in C360 Hair Growth, reactivates hair follicles that have stalled due to hereditary hair loss, physical conditions, or environmental factors that may affect follicle production. You will begin to see visible results using C360 Hair Growth within 3 to 6 weeks. Buy today knowing that your future hair growth will help fund very promising cancer research. See more at the link below. Welcome to Business Game Changers. I'm Sarah Westall. This video is the last in the series I recorded with Detective Jimmy Boots Rothstein during over 20 hours of time I spent at his home in November and December 2018. If you have not seen the other shows with him, please see the link below in the description. I am planning on doing a couple more shows in the future to wrap up a few more topics. This show, however, will focus on solutions to the epidemic of human trafficking. You will hear important details about what a family should do if ever your daughter or son is abducted. Detective Rothstein also lays out a set of laws that should be passed in every city to significantly reduce human trafficking. He also lays out a program for mothers to take back their power and force society to care about our children. He predicts that these activities would reduce human trafficking and human compromise by 85%. As a consequence, this would also significantly decrease most major problems occurring in our society, including war, poverty, drugs, and the vast amount of decisions that only serve a small fraction of our society for the wrong reasons. Because human compromise is keeping our politicians and our leaders from doing what's right. And it's time for us to solve this. And if there's anything you should learn from this episode, is that together we can make a difference and finally solve these problems in our society. The transcripts from these interviews with Detective Rothstein will be made available for free for my patrons. They will also be made available for a small fee on my website. Now, here is my interview with Detective Jimmy Boots Rothstein.
Okay, let's talk about some solutions. You did a booklet with Johnny Gosch's mother, Maureen.
Yes, that's number one.
Let's talk about that, because this is about what victims can do and people who are associated with victims. Can you discuss what you've put in this booklet that are highlights?
Yes, and again, like I have it, I got it put together here, and in this thing, it goes right in that the minute you become, your kid is gone, you start a diary, number one. Every minute detail has to be put into it, because as time goes on, if it is one of these cover-ups, they're going to change stuff. And don't blame the cops. Because many of the things, if these cops go after it, their careers are over. And in this booklet here, you got to work with the press right away. Make sure the press gets it so they know. But here is the cover sheet for what we did. And it's basically 4 or 5 pages that outlines all the things you have to do to go with it and how to follow up to get an organization going. And these things are very important because nobody knows. And you're going to be, if it was like the Wetterling or the Johnny Gosch case in particular, that was the first big one. And they were they tried to discredit the mother and the and everybody instead of going after the facts. And I interviewed the lead guy down there when that kid disappeared. He got a phone call to, how did they say the words, was to stand down on the investigation. And this is how this goes. So you need something that has everything recorded. In the Josh Gimoe case here at St. John's, I had the family do that. Document everything.
Now, how quickly do they have to act on this?
Immediately. The very first thing is when you find out your son is missing or daughter, whatever it is, you write down, I heard from so-and-so that my kid was gone this time and everything else. And then every communication, everything you have, you write down.
Now, the media doesn't get involved until it's of interest.
Yep. And you
got How do you get them involved?
First of all, you call them right away and tell them, hey, my son is missing and this and that, and get the reporters on it. Make sure you have a good working relationship. You also have to remember, they're kept very tight on what they can report and can't report. And I can cite cases of that at the highest levels were stories that were never made public with the biggest papers in the country.
Well, in the case of Wetterling, they're still covering up for it.
Yes, yes. And for instance, there was another kid they tried to kidnap just before Wetterling. You've never heard his name. You've never heard him, and I'm not going to give it now. But yes, I interviewed this kid. I interviewed his mother, and he was riding his bike delivering the newspaper. Now, what was Johnny Gosch doing? He was a newspaper boy. Before the Martin kid was kidnapped, a man told authorities the kid was going to be kidnapped, and still nobody did nothing. He was a newspaper boy. So, you know, these are the things, when you look at these pedophiles, they have fetishes. And in those books they describe what they pay, what their fetish is, and, you know, all that stuff. So this is the things you have to know. And that's why, like I said, this book, there isn't a family in this country that shouldn't have a book, that little notebook that we made to help you.
Now, where can they get a copy of that? Can I get a copy of it and put it on the website?
Why, certainly. Right here is a copy.
Well, what I'd like to do is get I'll have this, but if I could get the digital copy, and then I'll put that up on the website so people can have that.
It should be out there.
Yes, it should be.
Because that is just the basic things that you should do.
Okay, now there are a couple other things that you have as solutions. Let's talk about your government solution.
Well, yes. We had here in this town of St. Martin, right up on the street up here, there were two young girls that we had a couple of pimps that moved into this town, and I knew what was going to happen, but plus I had an informant. And when they were ready to grab the girls, I stepped in and stopped it because I couldn't get nobody else to do anything. As a result of that, my city council and us passed resolution, and you can find it on the internet. You put in resolution number 2014-08. And this resolution outlines, and there are five basic things that are addressed. And if these laws were passed, I will guarantee you it would cut down 85% of this activity.
And they can do it at the local city level.
You write a resolution. This resolution is addressed to the governor of the state of Minnesota to pass this law. This resolution was sent to every government official starting at the county level, and it was sent into all the people in the state and to the Cronin investigation where they were working on human trafficking out of, he was out of Texas, and that was done through Doug Caddy, the lawyer from the Watergate burglars, who knew what I was talking about. Only one congressman ever did anything about it, and that was Michelle Bachmann here from Minnesota. She actually called a meeting at the Historical Society in St. Cloud. And you know what? She never ran for office, just like the people in Congress that I went with the confidential report back in the 90s. Out of the five people on the committee, only one person ever ran for office again.
After she did that, was it immediately that she, that same year, was it that she stopped running for Congress?
No, I think it was the next year or something.
Well, but it was that next cycle.
Yeah, it was right the next term. She never ran. And Michelle was the only one that ever actively had her people contact me, sit down with me, go over this, and work on it.
Okay, now, what are the five things that are specifically illustrated in this?
Well, the first one is the most important. Any person or entity that uses human trafficking, children, child porn, pedophilia, to compromise, extort, or cause another person to do an unwilling act will be guilty of a felony with a mandatory 25 to life prison sentence. And it was the death penalty, but we had a couple of nuns that were, I called the mothers of the church on our committee, and they didn't believe in the death penalty, so we made it 25 to life. But I called for a death penalty on it. That is the big one. Then the next one, any person or entity that buys, sells, trades, or in any way promotes, enables, or profits from human trafficking, pedophilia, human compromise, extortion, or use of children in a criminal manner, same thing, a felony, 25 to life. The use of electronics by these people and other forms of communications to facilitate, promote, or further human trafficking and all this stuff. The same thing, $1 million fine for each occurrence and a 10-year prison sentence. You know, in other words, if you use the computer, if you signal by waving across the street at somebody, you know, you're guilty. You're facilitating this. And, you know, it's so easy to catch them on the computer because it's on there. Anybody can find it. Now, this here's the one. Any person, agency, other entity that interferes, threatens, harasses, impedes, or in any way compromises an investigator, investigation, prosecution, or witness in human trafficking and all of that is guilty of a felony with a mandatory 5-year penalty. That's what is the most important one. Let these cops do their job. I can name cops, FBI agents and stuff that did these investigations into the highest levels. Everyone was stopped. And it's been going on for 50 years. Then the final one, any enforcement agency, agent, prosecutor, elected government official, or any other authority that fails to act with due haste on all of these things is guilty of a felony. Now that would mean if you vote in a dog catcher and he's elected and he don't do anything, he's guilty of a felony. Can you imagine if all these people were responsible, that elected officials, what that would do?
Well, if they know about it, they need to do something about it.
Yes, if they're aware.
At least report it.
And immediately, not to stall it or any, and they have to make sure something is done.
I don't understand why this is so complicated. Well,
it's not.
I think we know why it's complicated, because they're protecting themselves. But yeah, this is a pretty straightforward.
Very simple. And it's done in layman's language. So if you get, were to put it, legalize it, then you'd have to rewrite it. But this is for the public to understand. And as part of this, I even have go into the different definitions, how it works and that. And then we have finally, where purpose and need, which describes why we need this.
Okay, talk about why we need this.
Well, number one, you got to let the people know what's really going on. You got to let the people know how this works and define it and define what has to be done. And again, we did have here a little task force for a while till they asked me not to attend anymore because I didn't fit the Minnesota model. But if you got these mothers together and you set, and it's structured, you know, where you have a organized effort. If somebody, like when I sent this to the governor, I didn't get nothing back on it till I had a couple of mothers call.
Well, did you get through the need all the way? And then after that, I want to talk about your mother structure that you came up with, because you defined a whole organization. Do you have any more elements of the need that you think that we need to discuss? Why else do we need this?
It's the whole thing is first of all, we have to let people know what prostitution really is and what pimping is. And it's right in here. You cannot talk about human trafficking without talking about pimps. And you don't hear pimps mentioned. Number one, most of them don't even know what a pimp is and the different grades and levels of it. Procurers are not, you know, that's a different thing. But you have to understand all this. And that's why I explained that in here. And if you don't, like now they got this thing, they're helping. Oh, they got all these programs where they're helping this. If you cannot eliminate the pimp, and I have documented cases right here from in this area in the last 3 years, and I have them from 50 years ago. A girl was up at a house in Brainerd, Minnesota, and she was a victim. She had been put in when she was 15 years old. And all of a sudden, she's a runaway. She ran away from there at 2:30 in the morning. At 6 o'clock, she was turning tricks in Minneapolis. She ran all the way from Brainerd to Minneapolis. Can you imagine that in that period of time? No. The pimp calls and tells them, you better do this. And if you don't, the consequences. They do not factor in the pimps. All they do is they're runaways. Then it's not a crime statistic. They don't say the pimp called and said, here. And they don't know what the pimps do to these girls. I do. I've seen it. I had it right here, and there was nothing we could do.
Prostitutes and these young prostitutes, 15-year-old, they're not what the media and all this, it's not this glorified deal. These people are victims.
They're victims.
They're trafficked.
I took a 15-year-old, and to me, from the day you were put into this girl, same girl that ran, we had her in front of the mayor of St. Cloud, and she starts telling him what happened. And he says, oh, you're a runaway. And the girl goes, what do you mean I'm a runaway? The man told me if I didn't do this, they were going to hurt my mother and my little brother. Right? Is that a runaway? No, but long as you call them runaways and homeless, they're not crime statistics. That's the big thing. And this is why you have to do something. When these kids, first of all, you got to understand what they're talking about. And you got, if you want to get out of this, and I've seen it, what they do to girls. It's called running the train on them is one thing. I've seen right here, and I had two witnesses that actually saw the physical assault that was committed on this girl, but there was no place to go with it. You know?
Now, some people say that the foundation of society will be rocked. But in your opinion, and this is my opinion, that the foundation of society needs to be rocked so that we can start taking care of this.
Oh, yeah. But like I said, you can take care, find out what the pimps are. How did they get there? That's another thing. I had up here in a little town called Pillager, a group was going to open up a house for these victims and such. And the lady brought up the fact, she says, what are we doing to train, you know, get to the pimps so they don't pimp? You know, I put pimps in jail 65 years. What do you accomplish by putting a man in jail for something 65 years when he don't know any better? You know, and people say, oh, they know they shouldn't. But baloney. That's part of the society, you know.
So they start, they're groomed when they're young kids?
When they're young, yes, yes. I had these pimps. I talked to them. They trusted me. Pimps told me. Girls told me. They told me 50 years ago, and they told me 3 years ago. So, and the proof is there. I had right after we had that task force meeting, and I got up and said about what was going on, I identified 32 pimps and 42 victims right here. And that's after the police chief of St. Cloud got up at the meeting and said they had no information that any such activity was going on here. 50 years ago, I had that already.
So they're lying. Some of them,
they don't know.
Okay.
They've been told. Oh, no, you know. But if you don't know what you're looking at, and now the greatest thing of all is you go on the computer and put on your 15-year-old girl, and you get the John to call in, and you lock up the John and fine him $2,500. Where does the money go? It's just like in 1972 when Assistant District Attorney John Patton and myself went into front of a judge in New York. We would arrest the prostitutes. They'd get fined $300 and given 30 days to pay. So we went in front of the judge and told him he was a pimp. Well, think about it. What were we doing?
You were extorting money from Johns.
Yeah, and that wasn't the Johns. That's what's going on. What? This was the girls.
But now,
yeah.
What's going on? Yeah. Now? You're doing it to girls back
yeah.
then.
Yeah, and the other day, one of the media had it on television. There's all this money missing. Where is it? You know, again, you can't break the law with false advertising. And there are ways. I agree John should be arrested, but lock him up legally. And what good does do fining him? Give me a break. You know, first you got to understand what this is all about.
The cities like to fine them and then put them back out there so they can fine them again.
No kidding. I mean, give me a break. Mother Nature has never quit in the world. You know, there's a real thing out there.
Okay, let's talk about your structure that you put together with, did you do this with Johnny Gosch's Mother Too, Maureen Gosch, the structure, the mother's group?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Okay, will you talk about that, what we need to get something like that going? Leaders in different areas of the country, and how would this whole thing
First of all, each community should have what we call the Mothers Against Trafficking for a group. But then there should be five leaders. And they should be structured in such a way that when you, as a group, go and you get no response, these five mothers go in there. And you set up a thing like a phone bank. Now with cell phones, it'd be easy. You hit a button and everybody calls. And I've been there when it was used, and it works. I was in Washington one time, and there were the five ladies. They wore blue blazers, white ruffled blouses, black slacks, and white high heel shoes. And when we didn't get a response, we were told we'd have to have an appointment. In those days, she got on the phone and called. Within 20 minutes, we had 26,000 people calling. We were in there 20 minutes later.
Now, let me ask you, why did that group disband, or are they still running?
No, this was not for trafficking. This was on another situation.
Okay.
But here, I had them call on the resolution to the governor. I had, I think it was five mothers at that time called. And it didn't take long. All of a sudden, they were calling me, and I've got a letter that backs up that I was contacted, you know. But lately, nobody's responding again. But it works, and you set it up in these different groups, and then you'd have it at like a state level and then a national level where you'd have these, and then...
So the five would be at each state level, or the five be
at every level.
Every level, you'd have five leaders. So at the city level, you'd have five leaders.
Oh,
at
yeah,
the
yeah.
State
yeah.
level, you'd have five leaders. And at the national level, you'd have five. Yeah. And then they'd all work down the tree.
You could make it seven if you wanted to, but here. And then, like here is the, this is the task force setup.
And this I would like to get the other, you know, just like the government resolution, I would like to get this document too, and I can put this up on my website.
Yeah, and here is the other part of this, is how the Mothers Against Trafficking, as you will notice, there is a little hatchet with a T I call them the hatchet team. When they go there, no is not an option. You know.
So absolutely.
And it shows you how you organize the phone tree and everything. And this one shows you how the whole thing is set up with the different things. And this isn't, you know, this was done based on past things and that. So you've got all that. But the resolution here, you, any legislator that or county commissioner or anybody, and I took this in front of my county commissioners. And what was very interesting today, and you've interviewed her, Diane Milbauer was there with her people, sitting behind me. And in the front row was a young lady, all by herself, sitting there in front of the county commissioners. And I presented that resolution. And when we got done, the county commissioner said, "Who is that lady?" And I says, "She was there in case somebody challenged my credibility. She was the victim where the pimps ran the train on her here in St. Cloud and she tried to get out of prostitution. And she was dressed in such a fashion so she could have shown you very easily how she was mutilated."
That would have been a pretty shocking experience for them.
And there happened to be a camera there for some reason. But ask Diane, she was there. And that was the end of it. I never heard from him. Other than the fact that, oh, you should do a formal, no. I made my presentation. But that girl was sitting right there. And this girl, if you want to see all the things, and we couldn't find anybody to work with us.
Well, let me tell you, so people understand how important an organization like this could be. You know, you have Mothers Against Drunk Driving, Mothers Against All These Things.
Yeah.
But this is at a whole nother level of how it can change society. Can you talk about, if we actually made an 85% dent in this activity, how much would it change our country for the better?
Oh, it'd be tremendous. You would eliminate this human compromise, human intelligence. First of all, how come our scholastic people and education people have not been talking about human compromise and human intelligence? Why haven't we heard about this other than from the street level? You know, first we got to educate. But for the victims, right now, there's a girl missing in Wisconsin. Right? If we had Mothers Against Trafficking, and they started marching in and demanding, what do you think would happen? And holding people accountable. There's a whole structure out there that's been going since 1966 that I know of. It involves the Jeffrey Dahmer case. It involves the people that were involved here and with the Son of Sam case. This is Filters. There was a priest, Father Kunz, killed out there. One of the 44s that was used in the Son of Sam case came from Eau Claire, Wisconsin. Is there something I don't understand here? You know?
Well, could this, you know, to give a clearer picture for people, this could clean up a lot of our corruption, the money being stolen from our government. It could reduce wars that we have. Yeah. It could, I mean, all the negative activities around the world we could see be cut down because of this. This is how serious it is.
Yeah, and the other part of this, you know who needs this the most? The mothers are the cops. They need this.
To help them do their job.
You got to have mothers that will go to, why are you picking on this cop? Right? I've been with cops. That I can't tell you that, right? There's the Eaton Patz case. When it happened, a detective called me. I, by that time, had been shut down already. He says, "Jim, don't tell anybody I called you, but your man, Kazimoto, which was Ben Rose, was seen walking with the kids." 2002, another detective called, said the same thing. "Don't tell anybody I called you." And he gave me that information. Why? Why do cops have to worry about doing their job? And if they had the mothers, like when we were doing this, when we got shut down, if I would have had 5 mothers to lead the charge and 20,000 mothers in New York screaming. Do you think I would have been and my partners and such, all our careers were over? Do you think that would have happened? Do you think the police commissioner would have had the guts to do it? And who stopped the commissioner? You know, where did it come from?
They're afraid of the people. Mothers don't feel like they have power. But
they're the most powerful thing in the world. But I can't tell you why that is, because that's not politically correct. You know, it gets down to the birds and bees. And let me tell you, this came from the horse's mouth.
But mothers do feel their power has been mentally taken away from them, and they need to stand up and get their power back.
Why does a mother sit here and tell me she's been told to put it behind her? Huh? Why weren't there 50 mothers there to help her? There were 3 mothers there to help her, but that wasn't enough. Why? Just go around these towns here, right here. I'm just speaking now. And check with how many little boys have committed suicide because they're victims.
Because they can't talk about it.
That's right.
Little boys who are raped, and as they grow into older men, it's still shunned in society, and they're ashamed.
Not only that, is why isn't anybody helping these people? Like a 55-year-old man 4 years ago calls me. I got to meet you. I got to talk to you. I never knew who this guy was. I met him. And 5 minutes into the conversation, he says, you know, if you wouldn't have understood what I'm talking about, I was going to commit suicide tonight. He was 55 years old. His brother had been a priest, and he'd bring his friends home and they'd rape him. Right here, there's a guy right now. He just found out that his mother was a hooker, and he don't know how to cope with that. So he's coming to see me. And this goes on and on. What about all the older victims? How many of them are out there? There's a lot of them, and they got nobody to talk to. What about like that priest over there, My Journey Alone? You want to see the priests that have been here and in New York who came to see me to talk to me. They were victims. And this is what's so sad about this. You know, what about the innocent people? What about the victims? You know, some of these victims may be 15, 16, 17. What about the ones that are 50, 60 years old? It's like the guy that calls me 2 years ago, 6:30 in the morning, to thank me for saving his life. He had been a hustler in New York. For 40 years, he was looking to find me to thank me. You can help people. And I got him out of the business. He ended up in Philadelphia, and that's what he does for a living now, is work this stuff. But you can help people. All you got to know is understand them and talk to them. And don't go trying to tell them what happened. They got to tell you. Every victim, right? I'll stick with what happened around here in one particular family. You sit there and you start talking to these people. Their eyes are empty. And all of a sudden, when they know that you understand what they're talking about, they tell you everything. And it is heart-wrenching how they describe these things from the minutest details on what happened to them. You know, this is all. And then they have this thing now, the greatest law for recovered repressed memory. Yeah, but you can alter that by how you question them. You got to know how to talk to these people. Or they use dolls to say to these young kids, he touched you there. And if you say yes, you get a lollipop. I mean, give me a break. You got to find out the truth. Do you know there's been the investigation out in Oregon? There was the one here in Jordan, Minnesota. You know, when people who don't know what they're talking about go in, this can destroy whole communities. And that's why, like I said, we did all this work. The last investigation, we had the Policy Science Corporation. We spent millions. Everything was covered up. All the background, and anybody that wants to check, look up Harold Laswell. Those were the kind of people that were on that committee.
See, I think we got to start having more pride and say this isn't good enough for us.
Yeah, that's right. and back the cops. Get the ones that want to do their job. And if they don't do their job, lock them up.
And support the ones that do. And we have more power than we think.
Yeah, and I've had law enforcement here, both federal and local. Well, not here, not from here. There was two cops in Minneapolis, Lieutenant Gary McGaughey and Kenny Tidgewell. Look up their history. I mentioned them to you once before. Go to the police chief of Minneapolis and ask him what happened to Lieutenant Gary McGaughey. That man was, they had this thing going and they were shut down, totally destroyed.
And the people who destroyed them should be thrown in jail for life.
Yeah, well, why, and they, we were here with them. I watched it. We sat there with them.
But if society would support them,
yeah,
the mothers would support them, the people would support them, their careers would not be destroyed.
That's right. That's why. And here's another thing. Here in Minnesota at that time, remember I said we were at the meeting, nothing like this is going on? They brought 11 victims from here to New York to testify in front of the State Select Committee on Crime. How come we've never heard of that here? And you want to hear what these kids had to say.
Yeah, we keep it away from people. We can't protect people from the truth. The truth will help, they say, it set us free. We need people to learn the truth. Yeah. It'll be traumatic, but it'll be a lot less traumatic than what the victims are dealing with.
Yeah, and then like I just explained what happened to the church. Why doesn't the church, I am Catholic. Somebody mentioned I should have a yarmulke, but I am a Catholic. I was born and raised one. If the Catholics stood up for what was right, this wouldn't happen. And right now, they're throwing the church to the wolves. Why aren't they talking about how this started? They know how it started because they were government documents that I looked at.
The people who are going after them, the authorities, are the ones that, a lot of them are the ones at fault for the whole thing happening in the first place.
That's right, but why aren't we hearing this? And why doesn't the church get up and say, maybe that when Pope John Paul I did it, it cost him his life. Oh yeah, and again, people say, well, I was there. I got the informant. Why did they have to drive the informant from Detroit, Michigan to New York? Huh?
Why did they have to do that?
Do you think they wanted their name? So I wouldn't get their name? You know, this is the way this worked. Why did I have to get anonymous phone calls? Why I'd be walking the streets in New York 3-4 o'clock in the morning and some guy had come up to me, no identity, and Jim, you got to look at it. I knew he was an agent from somewhere, some agency. Did I know his name? No. My job at that time was when they found out that we knew nothing about prostitution, trafficking, and such. And I'll give you an example. When the pimps killed an undercover cop by the name of Campisi, our intelligence division gave me a list of pimps. Not one of them on that list was a pimp. They were all Murphy men. And this is what I'm saying. That's when the New York Police Department cut me loose. And my job was to find out what was happening. Now, and let me tell you, in New York, when they send you out to find out what's happening, and they give you all the money you need, and there were times there were 100 cops working with me, detectives. You'd be amazed what you can find out, and you can go anywhere you have to go.
What do you want people to know as we close this up?
As we close this up, organize the mothers and get that resolution. Every town, every borough, whatever you want to call it, should take this to their town's board and have it passed. And you know what I found? There were a bunch of towns here that passed it, 5 of them. But what was interesting is the ones that didn't.
What were their reasoning?
Oh, they didn't want to get involved and such. But check into it deeper. There was one town I went to, there was one council member that didn't show up. The only meeting he ever missed. What would that tell you?
He's involved.
Well, God. You know what I'm saying, but that's the most important thing. And get the mothers organized. Get them and have the meetings and do it. And I will tell you one thing. Make sure you're not infiltrated. And you will be. Just like when we had our task force here, one of the first things I said, there's going to be somebody in here to infiltrate. And they were.
What did you do to get rid of them, and how did you identify them?
They asked me to quit because I was not following the Minnesota model.
They were the infiltrator.
Yeah, yeah.
The goofball who messes stuff up is usually the infiltrator.
Yeah, and we were getting things done. But again, get the mothers organized. And when you go on this stuff, no is not an option. You know?
100%. No is not an option.
No. No, I mean, you go there, here. We got a new governor coming in. Now, this reaches outside of this, but a lot of states have new governors and stuff. Go to your governor and demand. Go to your federal government. Demand them to act on this.
Thank you so much for everything that you've done, your life's work, and for talking with me today.
Well, thank you for what you're doing, and I want to thank all the cops and FBI, customs, IRS agents who have worked with me over the years. And you'd be amazed how many people are trying to do the right job.
With the world being so crazy, I have two great gift ideas to help you and your family stay safe. First, the Shockwave Torch. This tiny tool drops a 260-pound thug in 2 seconds. It packs so much power in such a small package, it's scary. Thank God it's got a safety on it. If you want to stay safe in a dangerous world, I promise the Shockwave Torch will help. You can also get, as an additional item, this combo pack. It's an ultra-powerful police-grade 18% pepper spray with an ultra-discreet 3 million-volt stun gun. I am getting these for every one of the women in my family. I believe we should all be carrying this for self-defense. And with gun laws becoming stricter than ever, what a great option for women in your family or even men in your family to be safe. With purchase of any other item, you can get this for only $29. So click the links below to find out more information.